all of us here have heard what is considered the three most important words when it comes to real estate. What are they? Location, location, and location. And you know, when it comes to dealing with godly things, there also are three important words. Relationship, relationship, and relationship. At least this concept is an important key. What I would consider three general areas of relating or having relationship. The first one would be how we relate to God. The second one would be how we relate to our own selves. And a third area, number three, would be is how we relate to other people. Now let me explain what I mean, because how we relate to other people also could be divided down into three groups. The first one would be those who are in positions of authority over us, such as our employers or the police or parents, if you're a child, and then it goes on. The second area would be that to our peers and those on the same level as authority as we ourselves have. And that would be things such as our brothers or sisters, our friends, or our neighbors. And then a third area of other people would be those over whom we have authority, like our children or our employees. I want you to analyze with me a moment the substance of the two greatest commandments that Jesus Christ said. And we know what they are. And Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. These commandments that we've just seen from Jesus Christ, these commandments deal with relationships. They deal with relationships to God, relationships to ourselves, and relationships toward others. And we also need to remember that Jesus said these were the two greatest of the commandments. From the example of Jesus Christ, I think we also could agree as we look at his life and when he was on the earth in his ministry, that it could be obvious that we can agree. And there are times when we also can disagree at times with one another. However, I cannot see any example in the pages of the Bible that allows for such things as ridicule, belittling, sarcasm, or any other such behaviors and attitude. It's not there. There are times when we can disagree with one another, but these negative behaviors and attitudes, they're not there. They're never permitted anywhere in the pages of the Bible that is okay with God to do so. What we are to have is the attitude and thinking and righteous behaviors of Jesus Christ. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, with those verses in mind, turn now with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. In Proverbs, chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provokes him to anger sins against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Talk is cheap. It is action with the heart, or action that is coupled with loyalty, that is important. Loyalty is a cornerstone with relationships. In all three of those areas that we talked about, God, self, and everyone else. Jesus had 12 disciples. And he had a relationship. He had a close relationship with each one of them. He knew them. He knew them well. He knew their strengths and he knew their weaknesses. And he knew what they would do under a lot of given circumstances. He knew them very, very personally. He had a positive relationship with each one of them. However, one of them was not loyal. There was a problem with this disciple's relationship. Loyalty is what God is looking for. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 28. Mercy and truth preserve the king. The rest of the verse says, and his throne is upheld by mercy. I want to read this to you now in the New American Standard Bible. Verse 28, part A. That's the first part. Loyalty and truth preserve the king. Which is probably the better translation. The King James Version is the one that had mercy and truth. Mercy is good. Mercy, we have to have. God's extended to us. There's not a question about it. But loyalty does seem to fit better in the context when you really look at it. What we see here, therefore, is that loyalty and truth are connected together. They have to be together. They go together. Within any relationship, in all three of the groups, God, self, and others, loyalty and truth must go together. In these relationships, our loyalty is going to point out to others and to ourselves, when you really think about it, the Word of God, the truth. Our loyalty is what's going to point out the Word of God. It is going to, by the way we react in our loyalty to one another, to ourselves and to God, that's what's going to really demonstrate, and what it's going to point out is, it's going to point out that we're living by the Word of God. Truth. And as we know, John 17:17 says, your word is truth. This is what the Bible says. It's that kind of thing in our loyalty, in our relationships with one another. How do we get along with one another? How do we relate to one another? Isn't it by the fact that we are loyal to one another and our loyalty is coupled with the truth? Because if our loyalty is based with one another on untruths, then we don't have a right relationship and we obviously don't have loyalty. Those in our lives, in positions of authority, and all others they should see that we are trying to live our lives by the Word of God. They should see, they should know, they should realize, they should be able to attest to others that that is our standard. Because we have a kind of relationship and the loyalty is there based upon truth, others should be able to see that and they should understand that. Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew 5 and verse 37 it says, Jesus Christ doing the speaking, he says, let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay. Let your yes be yes and let your no be no. For whatsoever is more than these comes of evil. So our relationship with one another and our loyalty to one another, it has to be based on truth. That we can rely upon when somebody says yes, then we know that it's yes. If we don't know, we say we don't know. But if we say yes, then we can count on it because we're loyal. We have this kind of relationship with one another. If we say no, then we know it's no. And that's what we need to have. Let's see another point about relationships. Please go back to the book of Proverbs, this time chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Verse 21. Proverbs 21 and verse 21. He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. That's an incredible verse when you just think about it. Now, a few moments ago, we saw that truth and loyalty are to be part of our relationships. Here, what we see very clearly, I believe, that righteousness and loyalty are also to be part of our relationships. Why do we get mad with somebody? Expectations, and the person didn't necessarily follow through. They broke trust, thwarted self-will. When we get mad with someone, usually or many of the times, the reason is because the other person has broken truth and loyalty. They didn't keep their words, their expectation. They gave their word. They didn't follow through. That's truth. So now we've seen 2 points in relationships. Let's go on to another with our relationship. With this one, I'd like you to turn to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 6, we're going to read verses 4 through 6. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? For your loyalty is like a morning cloud and like the dew which goes away early. Therefore I have hewn them in pieces by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And the judgments of you are like the light that goes forth. For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. I delight rather with loyalty than sacrifice. This is during the time of the Old Testament. This is during the time when God was calling up that they did morning, noon, and afternoon. You know, the evening sacrifices, they did sacrifices and sacrifices and sacrifices. It was a daily ritual. It was always there. It was symbolic and it looked forward to Jesus Christ. Yet God says that I would rather loyalty than sacrifice. So what I think that we see from here is loyalty and pleasing God go together. We have to be doing what pleases God. And please understand, by extension, that would include His children. Who are His children? Everyone. Everyone. Yes, there is this closer relationship, just like with Jesus Christ came and He died for all those people that were alive at the time, even the Roman soldiers. He even died for these religious leaders that were out there inciting the people to cry, crucify him, crucify him. But he had this close, intimate relationship with these 12, and that extended on out at least to 120, as we can see. But he had this close relationship. But he didn't die just for them. He died for everybody. So by extension, who are the children of God? Everybody. Jesus tells us that we're to turn the other cheek. Please also understand, he did not tell us that we're to stand there and allow them to continue to strike our cheeks, did he? Of course not. Our attitude, once again, needs to be that of Jesus Christ. What was his attitude as his cheeks were being slapped? What was the attitude of Jesus Christ as he was being killed? Forgive them. Forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. This is a very important point. Please understand that God, Jesus Christ, has given the fullness of his grace unto us. Why? That we can be a blessing to others, even if they're slapping our cheeks. Even though they may have wronged us, real or imagined, we are to have that type of attitude. Those who are not in a good relationship with those in positions of authority and with everyone else, there is no way that we could have a right relationship with God. Remember I said at the beginning, there's three areas of relationships: to God and to self and to everyone else. And if we're not in a right relationship with everyone else, then we're not in a right relationship with self either, because we're deceiving ourselves. And if we're not in a right relationship with others, whether they're in positions of authority and everyone else, that means everyone who is in or out of positions of authority with us, whether we know them or we don't, if we don't have a right relationship there, we cannot have a right relationship with God. You know that we all tend to hide stuff about ourselves in our own closets. It could be in the physical closet or it could be the closet of our mind. Don't we do that or do we not? There are things about other people that we don't like. They hurt us. They hurt me or whatever else. We need to take it in the attitude of Jesus Christ. Forgive them. Because like I said, we all have stuff that we hide about ourselves. Let him without fault or sin cast the first stone. I want to go back and ask you, do you believe that if we do not have a good relationship with others, then we cannot have a good relationship with God? We all have things that we want to hide about ourselves. You know, and God understands that, and that's okay. We need to get rid of them. But, you know, we get rid of our own self. We don't necessarily have to, you know, stand up and expose our chest and say, here they are, everybody can take a look at them. We don't need to do that. God doesn't require us to do that. But we do get rid of it. One of the best compliments that a person could state about another person would be something along the lines of, he is, or she is the same at church as he or she is at home. Here's a question we all have to think about. Would others say that about us? That we're the same at church as we are at home. We all know that things are going to be, in this life, unfair. Please understand, it is our reaction that is the key important thing. It's what is our reaction to it. That's more important than the fact that we were wronged. What is our reaction to it? I want you to go with me to the book of Judges. Book of Judges, chapter 4. Judges, chapter 4. Verse 1, then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. Verse 3, the sons of Israel cried to the Lord for Ehud. He had 900 iron chariots, and he oppressed the sons of Israel severely for 20 years. Verse 4, Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lepidus, was judging Israel at that time. Chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. Then Deborah and Barak, he was the priest, the son of Abinadab, sang on that day, saying, that the leaders led, that the people volunteered, blessed the Lord. This is what they volunteered. Their meaning, the people had volunteered, and then the people on their own spoke these words and sang these words. They voluntarily sang these words. Bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O rulers. I, to the Lord, I will sing. I will sing praise to the Lord, the God of Israel. Do you see this? Do you really see what they're saying here? What has happened here? It says, the leaders led. And when you read all of chapter 4 and all of chapter 5, and what you will see is there was a need for volunteers. This man, Ehud, had been oppressing the children of Israel for 20 years. And he's talking about these 900 iron chariots. They're talking about warfare, weapons of warfare that the children of Israel didn't have, and they couldn't come up against him. And for 20 years. And so here is, and they cried out, and here is Deborah, who is a prophetess. And then here is the priest, the high priest at the time, together. They call out unto the people. And what they did is they asked for volunteers. And they gathered together around them 10,000 warriors. They came out and they gathered 10,000 warriors at this critical time in the nation of Israel. Volunteers. Volunteers. And they, as a people, blessed the Lord God. The God of Israel, He is God. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.